How is everybody on this lovely afternoon here in the Tampa Bay? I was fortunate enough to actually spend an hour with my wife today. Yes.
All right. That deserves a congratulations.
Yes, it does. And I'm joined here by the lovely, knowledgeable, and agent extraordinaire, Ruth Fennell.
Hey, John.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. Just basically raced back from Orlando. So had the fun of driving on I-4. That's always a pleasure. But managed to be here in time. So that's good.
Did you spend time parking?
Yes, actually I did. Twice. Right by Celebration and right by Lakeland. Was a nice, slow, leisurely tour of the Central Florida area.
Could be worse. It's one of my more favorite roads in the country. I traveled all over the country in a previous life. And Route 4 is just special. It's been special for a lot of years. Anyway,
yes.
Quick headline for you. And this, of course, is real estate related. Many people quit looking for work when they find a job. I just thought I'd throw that out to you. Anyway, Peter, our board operator, is he's enjoying it anyway. And we were going to kind of chat a little bit about what we're going to talk about today, Ruth.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about customer expectations. There's been a lot of information about real estate bubbles, and we talked a little bit about that last week. However, what we're trying to accomplish at this point is thinking in terms of if you're looking for a home, if you're looking to sell a home, what are your expectations from a real estate agent? What would you like to see them do? What have they not done as well that could be improved on? So we're looking at it as an opportunity to do some discussions back and forth.
With that in mind, I saw a piece in the Wall Street Journal. Of course, last year, a lot of folks bought pre-construction. And, you know, one of the great things was, well, let's get in on the pre-construction pricing and what have you. So my expectation is, you know, I'm going to get a better price and all this, that, and the other thing. And certainly for some folks, it worked out. For others, you know, you had a 7 to 12-month delay. A piece in the Journal yesterday. It was a headline, Buying the Returned Home. As more people walk away from contracts, some builders cut prices on how to spot deals. Basically, you know, if you're looking in the real estate ads and the big sections of the Sunday papers, you'll see all sorts of real estate builders, developers with all sorts of incentives these days. That should be a big hint for you. This article, I won't go through in detail, but, you know, indicates there are, you know, ask. And I think I was mentioned before, it doesn't cost you extra to go to an expert such as Ruth.
Or John.
Or John. Thank you. I appreciate that. Because we have relationships with these folks. We know how they work. We know where they'll go. Some of the incentives are not necessarily published. We've run into that. Yes, no?
Yes.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, on my drive here, while I was racing to get here in time, I called a local representative for one of the major builders and was updating her, just touching base, and she was saying that they were having some 15,000 reductions in some of their incentive construction homes and stuff. So.
Well, exactly. This article goes on, really. I mean, people are not buying houses. They'll you know, have put down up to maybe $10,000, $15,000, and they'll walk away knowing they can buy that property for so much less that, you know, losing the $10,000 or $15,000 doesn't make a difference. Apparently, according to this article, most builders would tend to, you know, try to negotiate something else or, you know, refund the money. But some of them are, you know, take a hard line. Really, the contract reads you're going to give up the money.
Right. Some of them, most of the contracts, like any contract, there'll always be stipulations. If this, then that. And sometimes they'll be a little flexible under certain circumstances. I have a current customer that I'm working with who had a contract to buy a new home, but it actually was contingent upon the sale of their home, and that's still in the works, but the other deadline has passed, and so there's been discussions about refunding deposits, and yet at the same time, if it happens, when it happens, then they'll still move forward. So a lot of it's give and take and just maintaining a good relationship with the builders.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's an interesting market that we're in. Our statistics of the week, if you will. Florida home sales down 15%. Existing condo sales down 18%. However, existing home prices are up 6%. So what does this tell us? Those homes that are selling are getting good money. You know, we have a dearth of buyers. It looks like we may have a call here if Peter's paying attention. Is Peter paying attention?
He's got it.
Okay, Peter's got it.
He's under control.
We don't want to hold up on the callers. And anyway, just to get through this, mortgage rates bumped up a little bit. Average 30-year fixed, which is probably a very unusual animal in this day and age, is 6.24. And nationally, existing home sales are down 5.7%. So there you have it for the brief statistics of the week.
Well, okay. One of the things, too, that we were talking about in kind of preparing for the show today, we were talking about the use of the Internet and how some of that has also changed the face of the real estate industry, especially from the consumer expectations portion of it. So what is your thoughts on the Internet?
Well, from the folks I work with, I mean, it's tremendous. It's where they do their research, where they get a feel for what's out there, where they can find out ballpark pricing for given areas. You know, they can also, of course, pre-qualify themselves and what have you on easily on all these calculators you find out there. And, you know, it's I know when I prior to joining this business, the Internet was, dial up. And so it was a difficult world back then, but it was in its infancy. But now it's so sophisticated, you know, different statistics I've read of 70% to 90% use the Internet in some way, shape or form before purchasing a home.
Well, I found one article here from it's actually via the Florida Association of Realtors website, but it's through the National Association of Realtors on their profile of home buyers and sellers. They said 9 out of 10 home buyers right now are using real estate agents in the search process. However, the use of the Internet in that search process has increased from over from 2% in 1995 to 77% in 2005. So you've gone from 2% to 77% in 10 years. And the next largest source of information is a yard sign. So you've got everything from the high tech to the low tech.
Yeah, it's funny how those yard signs still work. Well, we have a caller, George. George, how are you, and how can we help?
Fine. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I'm glad to hear that. I just called out to your show, and it's very interesting because it's very important to me. And I wanted to ask you a question. It involves real estate, but it's not exactly the issue that you're talking about today. But I want to buy a house. And I had some credit problems. I had a bankruptcy, but that's been discharged. What I'm doing now is I'm getting back on my feet. And what's in my favor is that I have I've been in my job a long time, and so has my wife. But I have a concern because I see the prices in Tampa, in the Tampa area, going up in neighborhoods where I didn't think that those houses could be so expensive. So I was thinking of buying a house a year from now, and I'm kind of worried, where am I going to be in a year from now? Am I going to be able to buy a house that I want, or am I going to have to come down to a house because of the price that I don't want? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. It's a quandary, as a matter of fact. I sold a house, you know, I left my crystal ball at home today. So, you know, predicting the future would not be right for me to do. Basically, I sold the house at the height of the market last year, and I got an unbelievable price for it. There was a bidding war, and one party bid higher than another. He was a lawyer. It went to the other party. Don't read anything into that out there, you attorneys. We love you all. But, you know, it's a difficult thing. You can get financed. I find a lot of folks in your situation, and Ruth, get your comments on this as well. But, George, a lot of folks in your situation will, I think the market is flexible right now. I think you can find probably a property, maybe not exactly in your neighborhood, but you can build up a little equity. Will the rate be, you know, challenging? Yeah. I mean, if you got a bankruptcy that shows, it's there.
Right.
But basically, you know, if you have a job, you've been working there a long time, and you're also still breathing,
right.
You know, you can get qualified for a mortgage. You know, I personally always recommend to my clients that they not do any kind of negative amortization mortgage where, you know, you can possibly go, you know, further, have the principal balance increase, if you will.
I see.
But, you know, you could do an interest only. There's these flex payments and what have you. And, you know, no reason. I think right now is a great time to be a buyer because you're loved.
Yeah, George.
Yeah, I've also been looking at, for example, like trying to find out all the things they look at, and my income to debt ratio is not bad. I'm around the $60,000 figure in my job, but my wife also works. And so people tell you, well, if you make this much money, you can buy this much home. There's a lot of things I need to, I guess, learn a little bit. But I didn't want to jump into it right now because I think that right now I'd be in a bad situation. I think I was thinking that if I wait a little bit, you know, and get some good credit history, then that would work in my favor. At least that's what I'm thinking.
Well, George, let me just offer a couple different things for you to think about. First and foremost, in the Florida market in the last 5 years, the average increase has been 100% for those 5 years. So it's averaged about 20% per se. Every year as far as the equity growth and appreciation on that. Now, what you have to weigh is whether or not the market has slowed down enough that that's going to change dramatically, but there will still be equity growth. There'll still be price increases, even if the market kind of stabilizes. So what you have to weigh is what will change a year from now versus the cost of the house versus your income and your debt ratios and that kind of thing. So think through that carefully and really, really evaluate. Is it better to try to do something now just to get on the train, per se, and to be able to find a neighborhood that you like, or will it be worth your while to kind of throw the dice and gamble to make sure what's going to change to your benefit within the next year?
I will do that. I came down here from Washington 9 years ago, the Washington area, which is very expensive. But I see Tampa almost heading in that direction, and that just kind of worries me. But
yeah, say, George, if you like, we're running up to a break already, believe it or not. So much fun
okay.
We're having. I guess Peter did as I requested and got your numbers. All right, why don't I give you a call? And I have some other options. You might consider a lease option, or there are other ways to get you in there. So we don't have to worry about interest rates and price appreciation. Okay?
Okay.
Is that
all
be good?
Right,
all right.
Good.
We have Leanne on the line. Good afternoon, Leanne. How are you?
Hello. You were can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes sir. You were discussing the fact whether there was a bubble or not. Well, there isn't a bubble. There is an explosion of housing prices. Now, you were discussing percentages. And in the last 15 months, from December 04 until the current date, in the Bonnie Bay area of St. Petersburg, houses have increased from somebody I know whose neighbor sold a very nice home for $89,000 15 months ago, and now these houses are selling for over $250,000. Now, this is almost a 300% increase. And the trouble is that the people who want to buy those types of homes, I mean, they're nice homes, but they're not palaces. First of all, let me say this. I'm not a socialist. I have nothing against millionaires buying palaces, and I don't care if they spend millions. That's wonderful. But the average income of the American, not I should say Florida people, and there's a lot of jobs here, and most people are working, they bring home, the families have somewhere between $30,000 and $40,000 incomes. And the most they can really afford is a $100,000 house. And there just aren't any. Little cottages that were selling for $20,000 5 years ago and for $50,000, $60,000 a year and a half ago are now going for $200,000 and more. So it's really nothing else. We can't say it's the market. It's nothing else but insatiable greed by people who just think they can get rich in a minute. Now, nobody buys real estate to lose money, but it should go up gradually over the years. And under all administrations, Republicans and Democrats alike, it's not at all a political thing. In New York City, in California, they're mostly Democrats. Yeah, they've been mostly Republicans. And in those places, you can't even get anything for less than $500,000, $1 million. So they all come over here now, and now here it's getting bad. So if nobody can have a house anymore and people have to go to work, what are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to sleep in tents or in their cars or what?
Well, yeah, Leanne, it's the market out there is very difficult. I think last week the stats that I provided were 20% of the households in Florida can afford the median price range home in Florida. Prices obviously have gone through the roof. But why is that? It is a big part of that. There's two real drivers in Florida. One is demographic. You've got baby boomers that are moving in, have money at the peak of their earning years, and they're coming from up north is one. But frankly, interest rates, historically low. Those interest rates and those people got in at periods of time. Even now, rates have risen. They're still historically low. That makes home buying very attractive. So no one is going to sell a property and leave money on the table for the most part. It's just the way it works. Ruth, would you care to comment on Leanne's feeling there?
Well, I would tend to think that the property that she was talking about was probably close to the water, if it's over in the St. Pete area. For something to see that kind of increase, there's been articles in the paper dealing with all of the condo conversions, everything from the motels that were on the beach in Clearwater and things like that being sold, and now all of a sudden large complexes, they're going to be, the old hotels are going to be raised and then new large complexes coming in. So it could have been a situation like that. The other thing, too, is that eventually the market will adjust. It's a question of if the prices get so extreme that people can't afford it, then the prices will come down.
Well, and I think that's what we're seeing now. There's an adjustment. You know, supply and demand, it's from Economics 101. My first year of college was one of my favorite classes. But, and that's what it boils down to. So you've got, right now, we've got more supply than we have demand, and it's difficult. The selling time is selling cycle is much longer now than it had been. We'll continue to comment on that and go through our topic. So Ruth, we were going to talk about different types of relationships that buyers and sellers would have. with
you might want to use a different terminology.
Should I rephrase that? Was that not a good thing there?
There's a difference in what first comes to mind and what the legal aspects might be.
There you go. So anyway, why don't you kind of give us the highlights of that?
Well, one of the things that customers sometimes have to learn, it's always a process, and there's so many documents and legal ins and outs of all of that. One of the things that the state of Florida requires real estate agents to do is to establish with the client what kind of relationship they're going to be, what kind of official give and take is going to be expected. And there's a couple different categories on the way that that relationship can be determined, but primarily it's to be determined before the agent shows you that first property or unlocks the door and lets you in there. So you may call an agent and say, gee, I'd like to see this house at ABC Main Street. And they'll meet you there and say, well, before I show you this house, I need you to sign this form. It's not that they're trying to get around anything or lock you into anything. However, the state of Florida says that it is a notice that is required to be given to potential sellers and buyers of real estate. And there's a couple different categories. There's one where the person can say, I have no relationship with you. I'm just going to show you this house. You're on your own. And then there is what the state of Florida has established as, in essence, the default relationship with buyers and sellers between the real estate agent. And that's what's called the transaction broker notice. What these notices do are really clarify what the duties and responsibilities of the agent are to that buyer and or seller. And there are three duties that will be across the board, regardless of what category you have. The first one is to be honest and fair with the buyer and seller. The second one is to account for all funds. So if they give me an escrow check, I got to be able to show where it goes. And then the other one is to disclose all known facts that might materially affect the value of the property. So if I find out something about the property or I know something about the property that would substantially affect whether or not they might choose to purchase that or sell it, then I need to let them know. Other than that, then there are other ones which will vary depending on the category.
Right. And those disclosures are so important for all you sellers out there, by the way. It's required. Those things need to be disclosed. It's by law. And it's only fair. It's the right thing to do. So anyway, the other differences are really kind of boil down to where the true allegiance is. How do I best express that?
Well, it's a question of whether you're working to assist the transaction as an entity, you're helping everyone involved fairly and equitably, or whether or not you are solely representing one side of the transaction. So we can get into that in a little bit more depth.
We've got David. Hi, David. This is John and Ruth. How can we help you?
My wife and I are currently divorced, and we own a home together. However, my name is the only one on the deed and the title and on the loan. What we want to do is she wants to buy the house from me, and, of course, we're splitting the equity that we've earned. I bought it in 96 in Tarpon Springs, and there's a substantial amount of equity. She wants to pay me for my equity and, you know, pay off the loan, so when we want to know if she does this, is there a way she can avoid having to pay the real estate fees, or I'm sorry, not real estate fees, but real estate taxes being, you know, raised up? Because in 96, I think right now we're paying about $2,600.
Right.
And I think if I were to sell it to just someone else, they would be required to pay the real estate taxes today. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah,
maybe I'm
yeah.
not being clear.
No, I understand exactly, and I would want to do the same thing if I were you. And what I think you need to do is, and I'll give you my best guess, but I'm going to preface that by saying you need to talk to a real estate attorney.
Oh, okay.
And that we would, you know, that would be the thing to do. But probably quit claiming the deed over to your soon-to-be ex-wife, I guess. And then that in and of itself, I do not believe would trigger those taxes and reassessment and what have you.
Okay, if I do what's called that quit claim deed?
Yes, it's quit, just like you quit your job, right?
Okay, does that leak? I guess you're not a real estate, you're a real estate agent, not an attorney, but would I lose any rights to the house, you know?
Yeah,
I'm afraid she's trying to pull a fast one on me.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I've had a previous marriage, and I better not comment on that.
Now, David, think positive intent. Okay, positive intent.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course, I just want to make sure.
David, yeah, really, you need to talk to an attorney because sure. you've also got the mortgage issue there,
right.
and that's going to be taken care of. And then if that cannot be transferred over to her name, you will have some tax implications on the
right.
transfer.
Okay, and let's see. Another question. The other question that I would have is, how is the real estate market in Tarpon Springs or North Pinellas, if you have any idea? Because I don't currently own a home. I own the home that she's living in now. We own that together.
Right.
I've been renting, so I'm going to be looking to buy and sell at the same time. Selling the house that she lives in and buying my own home. Do you have any ideas of where markets are hot and cold? Because I don't want to get laid away.
Yeah, it's really, you know, what do you need? Where do you work? How far are you willing to commute? You know, what's your price range? Right now, my gut tells me you can find a home. You know, I happen to run into a lot of homes that are. You know, good values, if you will.
Right.
Because of the nature of the folks that I'm helping out. Sometimes they just, you know, they know and they realize and they have to get out. So,
right. I don't mean to interrupt, but I guess what I mean is the market in North Pinellas going down, or should, or would it be okay to not sell it?
I don't see the market going down. I see it normalizing. Ruth, you know, with the, is that a good way to?
Yeah, I mean, David, what you probably want to do is just talk with John and let him know specifically what areas you might want to focus on. I'm sure he can run some computer researches for you.
And then we can run some numbers. We'll find out what you got.
Okay.
And we've got a couple other callers, so we've got to run.
Thank you very much.
All right. Look forward to talking to you. Thank you, David. And Chris, we have. Chris, good afternoon, and how are you?
Good, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
Very well.
Very good. Really, I've been searching for a home, and, you know, originally my thoughts were a home, but as I realized my price range, I was looking at buying a home out in far north of Tampa, far north of where I want to be. So I've come to realize that I kind of want to stay in the South Tampa area, which is very pricey. And I was wondering thoughts on two things. Foreclosures. What are your thoughts on that, first of all?
Well, you know, that's a business where I, you know, work with folks, primarily help them sell their homes. Save their homes. Those that can't, I will typically fund them and turn around and sell them, you know, at a discounted rate. And there's a lot of demand for that kind of stuff. I mean, you'll see all sorts of stuff on the internet for foreclosures. You can go do your searches, but I've got some special kind of things. South Tampa, you know, is not going to be inexpensive, as you well know.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, there are values to be had. I we're a little pressed for time, Chris. If you want to give me a...
The other question is, there's a lot of new construction going on in South Tampa, and, you know, primarily townhouses. You know, some of them I've looked at aren't going to be available till maybe early 08. And, do you feel that those would be actually a good buy right now? I mean, the South Tampa area obviously is a hot area of Tampa, but I'm still thinking maybe the foreclosure route or going to a new construction.
Again, my crystal ball is at home.
Well,
yeah,
I think,
you.
Chris, you just have to really decide what your priorities are, whether it's timing, whether you want to try to do something now, whether you want to wait and see what the market does, if you want to wait and get something new versus potentially a resale situation.
Yeah.
A lot
I've
of the
been
things,
waiting too long. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Well,
but the good news is that the prices are leveling. You know, they're not going to have quite as dramatic increases as you would have seen in the last several years. So.
And one of the things, I think one of the mistakes some folks made last year was they bought too many properties based on emotion. They walked in there, they loved that model, they were going to have that house.
Yeah.
It was a stretching the budget. We had to go to this kind of funny mortgage that all of a sudden a year later is killing them. You know, that kind of thing. Get it down on paper. Write down your needs. What do you really need to do? And stick to that. And then, you know, you can be prepared to make an offer based on what, you know, fits your criteria.
Sure, and I've developed a lot of that. And the reason I was looking at foreclosures is because I feel too many people had to rush into houses and take on these $2,000 home, you know, monthly mortgages that, I just haven't seen that many new millionaires out there that, you know, can afford those mortgages. And I'm wondering.
I think we had a call earlier to that effect.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard our friend before, but anyway. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I can help point you in the right direction. I do take houses in the inventory, and I do.
You work with foreclosures, John.
Yeah, that's my primary, you know, kind of.
That's his strength.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. You do get him in South Tampa, too, or around that area, right?
Actually, I have folks that have been calling me and saying, I'm looking for something. You know, it will take a little longer. I'll find the property. I'll find and I'll approach the owner and say, look, you know, I have access to all the, you know, information, who's having difficulties, you know, and if they find themselves in need to, you know, get rid of the burden, then, you know. And if I have a buyer at the other end, we're just going to hook it up together and put it together and get it done. So,
all right. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Thanks. Have
Look
a good
forward
day, Chris.
To talking to you.